We're going to turn in the Word of God to the book of Job, Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36, and we're going to read from verse number 15 down to the end of verse 21. Job chapter 36 and the verse number 15. The Word of God says, "He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed thee out of the street into a broad place, where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee, because there is wrath. Beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Desire not the night, when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this thou hast chosen rather than affliction." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 21, trusting the Lord will bless it this evening to our hearts. Let us unite together in prayer and let us seek the Lord for his blessing as we come to the preaching of his word, asking for help, asking for the Lord to come and to speak to those who are outside of Christ. Let us pray. Our eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for this meeting thus far. We thank thee that we can hear thy praises. We thank thee that we can rejoice in thy so great salvation. But, Father, now as we come to the preaching of the Word of God, we are very conscious that we need thy help, and we need thy presence here amongst us. And, O God, we cry unto thee that thou would come and descend in thy power, that we know the infilling of thy Spirit, and that as thy truth goes forth, that it would be the very message of God this night to our souls. Father, we pray that thou would instruct, and that thou would teach, and we pray, Father, that thou would give us the help that we need. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Certainly, the life of Job, it's a life which many of us know something about through the Word of God. Job was that faithful servant of the Lord who was permitted to be tried and tested. He lost his family, he lost his health, his servants, and his riches. The testimony of Scripture is exceedingly clear because it says, "Yet in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Job chapter 1, verse 22. And as the book of Job develops, we find some of his friends coming to bring counsel to him. And there is a man by the name of Elihu. And he comes to Job and he gives him a speech from chapter 32 through to chapter 37. It appears on the surface that it is a good speech. It is a speech that touches on things that were true, things that certainly perhaps were of profit to the servant of God. However, he failed to provide help for Job. Elihu certainly believed in the importance of what he had to say. He believed that he had a good cause, and that he was speaking on behalf of the Lord. He says in verse number 2, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker." He indicates here that his aim was honest. He seeks to vindicate the justice of God in his dealings with Job. And as he speaks to this servant of God, he is very clear that the estate in which he found himself, the trials that he experienced, the tribulations that had come upon him, were a result of his sin and his wickedness in the eyes of the God of heaven. Now, of course, if we consider the life of Job, The testimony given in Job 1, verse 22, "Yet in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly," is a verse that can certainly sum up this entire book. Job was a man who certainly did those things. He did not sin. He did not charge God foolishly. But yet Elihu comes from a false understanding of Job's position. In Job chapter 33, verses 8 to 9, it says there, "Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me." And Elihu here is saying that, well, he's heard Job speak. He's heard Job say that he's been innocent, that he is clean, that he hasn't sinned in the sight of God. And Elihu is saying, well, that cannot be true. Certainly these things coming upon you are a result of your sin against the God of heaven. He is criticized for failing to acknowledge his sin and wickedness. But yet Job had no sin. He had no wickedness. He was enduring these things not because of any sin that he had committed. And let me say there that there can be trials, there can be tribulations, there can be difficult circumstances in our lives. And they're not always a result of our sin and our failings before the eyes of God. Very often there are those who are quick to point the finger, and when a calamity comes upon us, they assume that so-and-so has fallen into sin. And the circumstances in which they find themselves, the tribulation that they are facing, the valley that they are going down, is a result of their sin. That is not always the case. And we need to be very careful when we consider things like that. Here in Job's situation, these things came upon him because the Lord permitted it. The Lord in his wisdom. And we do not know the mind of God, but the Lord permitted these things. And certainly at the end of the book, all things work together for good. When we come to Job this evening, he is a man here who is being exhorted by Elihu. His friend is warning him of sin and of iniquity. And he comes in verse number 18 and he says to Job, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." He's pointing out to Job that if he continued in sin, there would come a point in time when the Lord would come and with one stroke remove him. He would go into the wrath of God. He would face the judgment of God, and then it would be too late. Nothing could redeem him. Nothing could ransom him. It would be too late for his soul. Certainly when we think of these words, they are solemn in regard to the servant of God. Well, he was a man who knew the Lord. These words were not true of Job. But tonight, for you who are still in your sins, those words are true of you. They can be applied to you. "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." I want us to speak this evening on the eternal destiny of the sinner. The eternal destiny of the sinner. And we see here, firstly, in regard to verse number 18, and we see the certainty of the wrath of God. We see the certainty of the wrath of God. Elihu is coming to Job, and of course he thinks the Lord's servant is guilty, but he says, "Because there is wrath." He's not coming to Job and saying, "There may be wrath. There's a slight possibility there might be wrath." No, he is convinced that there is wrath. He is convinced that when the end comes, not only for Job, but for every man, there is the wrath of God. There is no discussion here as to the certainty, reality, and existence of God's wrath. It is stated as fact.
it is stated as fact, the Bible, from its very beginning to its conclusion, is absolutely clear that there is wrath, that the sinner will face the wrath of God, that at the last day we will stand before the throne of God, those who are found outside of Christ, those who are still dead in trespasses and sins, will face the wrath of God in hell for all eternity. That is what the Bible teaches. That is what the Scripture proclaims. If we turn to Luke chapter 3 and the verse 7. Luke chapter 3 and the verse 7, we will see again that wrath is mentioned with a real certainty. The Savior says, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And when we think of those words, and when we see them here, we see that there is this warning going forth regarding the wrath of God, regarding the wrath that it will come upon the world because of their sin. There is a certainty here, a certainty. In this world, certainly it is not something that is new, but we see it time and time again, whether it is in our everyday conversation, whether it is found in social media, we see that there are those that denounce the wrath of God. They doubt that there will be a wrath. They speak of a sky daddy. They mock the very person of God. They laugh at the thought of those who will gather and reverently worship the God of heaven. They will mock and scorn those who believe that the God of heaven will judge all men for their sin. There are those who will pour scorn upon the law of God and the judgments of God. Certainly in recent days, going back several months and into last year, there were those comments by the actor Stephen Fry. He was discussing his views on God from his perspective as an atheist. Well, he said at the end of those comments, in regard to entering heaven, he said, "I wouldn't want to get in on his terms. They are wrong." Here's a man who will denounce any idea of God. A man who, if God existed in his mind, would say that, well, he wouldn't want to get into heaven on God's terms because they're wrong. They're wrong. A man living in sin, a man living in iniquity. Man who does not believe in the certainty of the wrath of God. When we think of God's wrath, we ought to tremble. We ought to tremble. Elihu here is coming to Job. He's drawn alongside as a friend. And while he has that lack of understanding in regard to Job's condition, what he is saying is truth. Because there is wrath, beware. Beware. Because there is wrath, Job, you need to consider your ways. You need to understand what is taking place. You need to realize that God will come in wrath and in judgment, and your soul will be lost. And sinner, tonight, when we think in these words, because there is wrath, you must beware. Because there is wrath, you must stop and you must consider that the Word of God is true and the Word of God is right. Because you will continue in your sin, you'll face the wrath of God. You have no Savior who's redeemed you. You have no anchor for your soul. No anchor for your soul. If you go out into God's eternity, this point in time, the way you are, your soul will be lost. There is a wrath because we've broken the law of God. There is a wrath because we have sinned against the law of God. The Shorter Catechism says every sin deserves God's wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Sinner tonight, the wrath of God is something that you must consider. Because the Scriptures state that because of our sin, there is wrath. There is wrath. Romans chapter 3 indicates to us the universal nature of sin. Verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Elihu, when he spoke to Job, he mentioned that Job indicated that he was righteous, and that he was pure, that he was innocent, that he had done no wrong. And as we see in the book of Job, that is an accurate account. And that is true. But when we think of those words that were quoted by Elihu regarding Job, that he was innocent, that he was pure, there are those tonight, perhaps even here, and you will use the same words of yourself. You will say that you're innocent. You will say that you're clean. You will say that you're pure, because in your eyes, by your standards, you are. You don't engage in great sin. You're not found in the places of this world. Tonight you're found in the house of God. You're not found engaging in sin. But yet, despite your plea to be innocent, there's no foundation to it. There's no foundation to it. There are those here tonight, and they can say that they are clean. They are pure. Why? Because Jesus Christ has saved them. The Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross. And they've looked to Him in repentance. They've turned unto Him in faith. And He's saved them. And their plea of purity and their plea of being clean is founded and based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But your plea, is based not on Christ, it's based on yourself. It's based on what you think God will do. That He won't send you to hell because you're found in His house. He won't send you to hell because, compared to many others in this world, you're a good person. But the Word of God says, here in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sinner tonight, God's wrath is certain because of the sin of this world. Your sin. You must beware. Because there is wrath, beware. We can think of what the Savior says regarding this wrath. We can think of what is said in the New Testament and in the record of Scripture as a whole regarding this wrath. God has judged this world before in the days of Noah. The apostles spoke of the wrath of God. It's a fact. We have witnessed on the news this week great fire in Canada that has displaced many thousands of people. I was reminded when I heard the news about a situation that took place in Australia quite a few years ago, maybe about 10 years ago. And there was a fire took place on the Eyre Peninsula close to Port Lincoln. And it resulted in the loss of life. It wasn't a colossal loss of life, but there was much damage. And, well, you maybe know something of what bushfires can do. And I was given a book by the elder in the congregation there. He lent me a book to read. It was a book that remembered the fire, remembered the lives that were lost. And it told the story of what had happened. And when I read those things, it certainly was horrifying. And I remembered this week about those events. But if we were found in such a situation, and if we knew that there was an absolute certainty that that fire would come to us, it would come to our land, it would come to our home, it would come to the place where we resided with our family, then would we not make sure that we fled? We would not make sure that we took care of our family, that we left that place, we would leave it as quickly as possible. We wouldn't care for possessions. We wouldn't care for the things of this world. We would leave. We would flee for our lives. Certainly in regard to our physical well-being, that's what we would do. Very few of us would just surrender and sit there and wait to die. But yet when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to matters of eternity, there are many and they're contented to wait, to wait, to wait. They're happy to sit and to keep going on, to keep living their life, knowing full well that there is danger coming, knowing that the wrath of God will one day come upon them if they tarry there in their sin. Maybe that's a description of you. Description of you. Because there is wrath, beware. Because there is wrath. If such a catastrophe came here, certainly you would flee. You would flee. If the fire alarm in this building went off right now, I think the last thing that you would consider would be sitting here to the end of the service. You would make sure that you're safe. You would make sure that your family's safe. But yet, in eternal matters, there's no care, there's no concern. There needs to be, because the wrath of God is certain. And we see here as well the calamity of God's wrath. The calamity of God's wrath. Move back to Job 36 and the verse number 18. It says there, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. And this stroke refers to the actual infliction of God's wrath upon the sinner. The stroke of a hand or of a foot, like the clapping of the hands or the stamping of feet in anger, something that is quick, something that is sudden. And time again, we hear of those who leave this world suddenly, suddenly. And you can go out in life and you can engage in whatever it is that you do. But yet, suddenly, suddenly death can come. Unexpectedly. We ought not to boast ourselves off tomorrow. The wrath of God can take men by surprise. They think they have time to enjoy this world, time to indulge, time to live for the lust of the flesh. But God can come with a stroke, suddenly and unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. The suddenness of death is something we know well. When we think of deathbed conversions, something we don't hear that much about. We can think in Scripture. And perhaps there are those this evening and you say, well, I'll wait till my deathbed. I'll wait until I'm old. I'll wait until I'm frail. I'll wait until there's nothing else for me in this world. And then I'll look to Christ. And young people, that could be an attitude that many of you can have. Go out and enjoy the world. Engage in the world. And then turn to Christ. The dying thief on the cross, you'll say, well, he was on his deathbed. He turned to Christ. And I'll be just like him. But if you turn round, do you look at the other cross? There was another thief. A thief that mocked, a thief that scorned. There's no record of that thief trusting in Christ. Many will look to the thief that was converted on his deathbed, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." But there was that other thief who never turned. That other thief who was beside the Savior of the world upon the cross. And he kept mocking. He neglected salvation. There's a great calamity. Sinner, if the wrath of God came upon you suddenly, if the stroke of God came, what a calamity it would be. Be a great calamity because you've been found in the house of God. You've heard the preaching of the gospel. You've listened to the singing and praise of God this night. What a calamity it would be if you turned and you rejected it all. And God took you out in his wrath. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. We see here just finally as well the continuity of God's wrath. The continuity of God's wrath. One of the points emphasized by Elihu is that if the wrath of God should kindle against Job, there was no escape. There was no possibility to escape its stroke. And God's wrath is eternal. And there is no escape by money. And there's no escape by fleeing. There's no escape by rescue. It says there, "Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength." When we think on these words, there is absolutely nothing that Job himself could have done. If he was truly in the position mentioned by Elihu, there was nothing in his power that he could do. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Riches, gold, forces of strength. None of that could save. We can apply that to ourselves, sinner, tonight. Your riches, your gold, your forces of strength. Nothing can save. Nothing can save. We can think of the strength of this world. We can think of the armies of this world. We can think of the positions that we could maybe obtain in this world. Forces of strength, wealth, greatness. In the sight of God, it's nothing. It's nothing. God's wrath is incessant. It never ceases. It continues forever. "Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." It's irreversible. God makes no mistakes. When that stroke of his wrath comes, that is the end. It is inescapable. There are no exits. There's no way to escape yourselves. The way of escape is not by fleeing from the judge once that stroke comes, but by fleeing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of what is said here, "Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." When God's wrath comes, it is too late. It is too late. And sinner, you don't know when God's wrath will come. Elihu is warning. He says, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke." It could happen any time. Any time. "And a great ransom cannot save." But now, before that wrath comes, there is a ransom. There is a ransom. Only one thing can pay the ransom, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can atone for sin. He alone can atone for sin. In verse 21 it says, "Take heed. Regard not iniquity, for this thou hast chosen rather than affliction." He's saying, Job needs to take care. He's chosen iniquity. He's chosen sin. That is not true of Job, but we can think on those words, "Take heed. Take heed. Regard not iniquity. Turn from your sin. Consider your ways." Sinner, tonight, you need to consider your ways. You need to think on your sin and what God says about your sin. Because these things are solemn. These things are solemn. Those very words, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke," should put the fear of God into those who are yet in their sin. Because death is something that cannot be reversed. Death is something that is sudden. Those words are solemn. Those words are solemn. A great ransom cannot deliver thee, but here, now, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Can you sing that tonight? Can you truly sing it? The blood of the Lamb to the death of the Son of God is what can pay the ransom. Are you trusting in Christ? Are you looking to Him? May you do so for His name's sake. Amen.